Probably a good idea to pray. Morning again, Lord. Thanks for always walking with us. Help us to remain grateful. We're going to look at your book again, so we would ask, please, Lord, that you would let us know what we're supposed to know so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Personal questions. Ready? Do you like being touched? I mean, we are Lutherans. I can understand if you don't, right? I know that can be a touchy subject, if you will, but I want to do a little experiment today. I invite you all to stand up. Come on, humor the old man, right? Now turn and face another person. Extend your hand and shake hands. Now, face that same person and extend your arms out like this. You don't have to hug. No. Stop right there. Right there. How many of you experienced intense anxiety? Sit down. Yeah, exactly. Don't touch me. Yeah. Seriously, though, how many of you started getting a little nervous, right? I'm supposed to hug someone, even a stranger? What? Touch. It's a powerful thing. Many studies have been done about the devastating effects of infants who get deprived of human touch. Right? It's even true of adults. We long to be touched. And you could make the argument that some of us are touched a little. I know. Today we're looking at touch, right? And the power it had on an entire community. So if you look at the scripture in the bulletin or in the Bible, do you notice we skipped a few verses? Yeah. So Jesus has just come from this one place. He goes across this lake and gets there. The crowd's all over the place. And this guy comes running up to him, Jairus, who's a religious leader, a big shot, a wheel, right? He makes his way through this crowd because, you know, Jesus is the hottest ticket in town, more than that wedding that none of us got invited to, right? See, context is king when you read the book. What came before? It's a fascinating story. And while they're going, he says, I need you to heal my daughter. But he doesn't say daughter. He says, little daughter. She's 12 years old. And it says this religious leader fell at Jesus' feet, begging repeatedly, right? He behaves like a desperate dad. Jairus is always going to call her a little daughter. His daughter is dying. I know of nothing worse than bearing a child. He has hope. He has hope in this man. Some say this man is like no other man. And this is a guy he's only heard about. She's dying, and he says he's got nowhere else to go. He says, come, lay your hands on her, touch her, so she may be made well and live. Live, he says. Live, not die. It's a wonder Jesus heard any of this over the commotion of the crowd, and yet, you know, what does it say? He went. This guy he never met comes up and says, my daughter is dying. Before Jairus and Jesus get too far to the house, by the way, there's an interruption in there. If you want to read it, it's in depth. A woman touches Jesus' cloak, and she's healed, and she's been ill for 12 years. And the little girl is 12 years old. There's another sermon in there, but how much time you got? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've come too late. Don't bother the teacher anymore, they say. They come right out, devastatingly, tactlessness. And they say, your daughter's dead. Oh. Jesus breaks the silence. And what does he say? Do not fear. Don't be afraid. Only believe. What is Jairus supposed to do? What is he supposed to believe in when his whole world just blew up in his face? Believe that somehow life makes sense even in the face of his 12-year-old favorite daughter? Believe that in this unimaginable way we will be well no matter what? Believe in God? Believe in Jesus? Jairus doesn't ask what he's supposed to believe or how he's supposed to believe. Maybe believe that he has nothing to be afraid of? I don't know. So then Jesus does what? He sends everybody home. Get out of here. Go on, go on. He finds Jairus' place full of people weeping and wailing loudly. It's not the 21st century, it's the first century, right? People apparently started saying things like, oh, it's really a blessing that she's not here, or, oh, she's in a better world now, because for the most part, they didn't believe in a better world. Huh. They wept and wailed because they didn't have it in them to pretend that death of a child is anything but tragic and unspeakable, right? Jesus didn't say anything to change their minds. Mm-mm. He didn't tell them that this was God's will or anything like that. What he did say instead was something that's kind of hard to know how to understand. He says, this child is not dead, but sleeping. Huh. Well, these people, they know death when they see it. He sends the people out. He touched the little girl, took her by the hand, and said, Talitha cum. Little child, get up. And she got up. And she's walking around. What's it say? Overcome with amazement? You think so? Wow. Give her something to eat. Oh, and then did you get that piece? He says, oh, and by the way, don't tell anyone. I'm telling everyone. What are you talking about, Jesus? Huh? The child's life has been given back. But not just the child's life, but the life of the mother and the father who stood there with no words to know what to say. The worst thing that had ever happened to them had suddenly become the best thing that had ever happened to them. We can only imagine. How are we doing on time? Got another 20 minutes? Good. There is part of here, the question I have is when I read this book, where are we in that story? Is there a part where we see ourselves, Talitha cum, little girl, little boy? Do we see that? Do we see little boys and little girls with high blood pressure or arthritis? Or young boys and girls with tattoos and bodily piercing who believe and who sometimes believe and sometimes don't believe anything? You would give almost anything if you could believe in something. You happy ones, right? You can hardly remember what it was like to be happy. You know who we are and where we're going and how much time we're not sure we're getting anywhere. Get up, Jesus says. All of you, all of us, get up. And the power to give life is not just dead like the child, but to those who are only partly alive. Which is to say, people like you and me, who so much of the time we live our lives closed to the beauty and the miracle that's all around us, including the miracle and beauty of each day, and even of ourselves. You, miracle, beauty. It is that life-giving power, I think, that's at the heart of this story. A dad who loved his daughter went to any length. He had hope for a new life and a new beginning in this guy he really didn't completely understand, but he went there. The power of new life, new beginning, whether we know it or not, I think it keeps us coming back to places like this, day in and day out, year in and year out. It isn't always that easy to get up. Get up and keep going forward with hope for that one day when Jesus reaches out, takes us by the hand, and gives us new life. Talitha cum. Amen.